Welcome to the Sweets of CX, a podcast that brings customer experience to life with one goal and one mission: to be the cherry on top of your customer experience. Here's your host from Cisco.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Sweets of CX. I am your host, Summer Interior, and I am really jazzed today because we have with us an exceptional guest, an expert in his field. His name is Bob Rourke, and I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself. How you doing, Bob?
Fantastic. Thank you so much. So I'm Bob Rourke. I am an executive solution strategist for ShareWorld Software. I'm also an Axelos ambassador, and I've been working in the ITSM space for the last 25 years. So kind of bringing quite a bit of IT experience to the table here from a CX perspective. I've also written two books, The Success Blueprint with Brian Tracy and Collaboration for Success, which is a book about collaborating in the IT space and bringing CX to the forefront.
That is awesome. So as you can see, to our listeners, we have a true expert here. I'm so honored to have you. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So our topic today, what better to focus on than something that you've written quite a bit about, which is collaborating for success. As you mentioned, it's one of the two books that you wrote, and I have been learning so much from this. I highly recommend to anyone who's out there listening. But a lot of these questions that we're going to dive into today, they're just drawn straight from there because, I mean, why not? When you have the expert, you got to use that, right? So let's go ahead and dive in. I guess the first question we should ask is, as far as you know, when we're collaborating for success in the IT and CX space, you know, where do things currently stand in terms of IT and CX? And how did we get here, and where do they stand as of now?
So that's a great question. So I think where we stand today is better than ever before. I mean, we've had really a lot of opportunity to mature inside the CX environment and a lot of other areas from an IT perspective over the past 25 or 30 years or so. How we kind of built, I think we should start with kind of how we built where we are in IT. So IT itself was an industry that was built as an afterthought. Technology kind of infused itself into business rather than business being built around that. And it's become its own industry, and we definitely are supporting all of the different business functions that exist and the customers out there, both internally and externally in the organization. We've always done this. But when IT came about from the first perspective, what we looked at is it was that thing that people looked at, like whoever the people were inside their environment who were maybe the most technical of an HR group or a finance group became the IT group itself. And so there really wasn't a lot of budget, there really wasn't a lot of focus. But the key point to remember on this is how it was built is like how all the other businesses were built. So we had this very hierarchical structure where we had managers at top and then the worker bees below, and we all kind of just tried to function like the rest of IT and or the rest of the business world. And IT kind of took some hits along those ways. I think budgets at the beginning, though, were kind of just the other groups didn't understand it, so the budgets were really, really big, so we got to do whatever we wanted to. And then controls and governance came in and kind of changed stuff and made it really controlling. And in doing that, what we've seen is an increase in silos from a communication perspective. And that silo increase has decreased our ability to actually take care of customers. And one of the areas that really hits customer service, and which is not the same as customer experience, but customer service piece of this real heavily, are those people who answer phones inside of IT departments.
Right.
And unfortunately, they're the ones who, while they're the closest to the business and the closest to the outcomes of what's going on from the customer's perspective, and they can understand what that customer journey is and where they go, the challenge that you have with this is that even inside of IT, there's a line of demarcation there that kind of facilitates a breakdown in providing really good customer experience. And so what we've seen here on how we got there was it was just a natural way of growing a business. But what we've seen in the last couple of years is a big change in the way that this is working. So we're really now focused on that customer experience. And so the pendulum swings maybe to the other side a little bit heavier. And this is where collaboration comes in my opinion, right? So this pendulum can swing back the other direction, but eventually it's got to come back to that middle section where you have this co-created value. So the provider and the user of that service are equally succeeding, if I can put it that way.
Sure.
You can't do it. Yeah. So you can't do it without the communication back and forth. So that's kind of where we were and why we are where we are today.
That is amazing. Yeah, that's one of the things I've been learning a lot from your book is this whole history. You know, I mean, it's something we work with every day. It's something we deal with in our jobs, and yet I never really knew the history of it. So it sounds like, I mean, it's had a rocky road, right? It didn't start out all put together. And as you said, you know, there's been a lot of issues like the silo increase that you mentioned, which, you know, causes that breakdown in providing CX. So you say we're in a really good spot now. Forgive me, I'm going to divert from the initial question that we were going to have, but I just have to ask, do you think that one of the things that is helping us to get to a better place now is breaking down those silos? I mean, is that one of the main things to getting to good communication? Is that one of the top priorities?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And as technology's changed, and where that was driven from, I believe, is as technology's increased, so it went from having everything being internal to now everything kind of moving out into the cloud and software as a service and platform as a service. And a lot of the organizations, including the one that I work for now, it's that software as a service. How do we provide that value? How do we get down that path? And in looking at this, we really can't go there if we're not talking to each other across the board. Inside of IT, you typically have an operations side of the house and a development side of the house. And the two have been at odds with each other for some time, trying to get to the same outcome, which is the very interesting part that we see. So now that we talk about breaking down these silos, what you get is both sides of the house in IT working towards providing that value to the customer from a customer's perspective of what value is as well. So without having that, we're not going to get to that spot where we see that next level of IT kind of emerging. And that's why it's so exciting, because what you're seeing is all sides of the house now are actually understanding this and moving towards that piece. And I don't think in my 30 years of working in IT, I've ever seen as much collaboration going across all the teams as there is now to provide that value.
Well, that's really encouraging. I love hearing that. It's that cohesiveness, right? It's just something we're always aiming for. And I'm glad to hear that coming from someone who's been in the space for 30 years, like you said, that we're in a pretty good spot. Of course, always room for improvement. So I'm going to, forgive me again, but I'm going to skip down because it seems appropriate to one of our questions a little further down the list. But as far as communication goes, can you give us, in your expert opinion, what you think the definition of true communication is? And how we can best communicate with our customers as well as within our organizations. You know, you say it's in a really good spot. What is involved in that best communication?
That is a fantastic question. So communication is, it is a very difficult thing and a very easy thing at the same time. Right? So, I mean, we've heard it for years, right? The golden rule, however you want to look at this, right? And I like starting communication conversations off with one of my favorite quotes from Mark Twain, which is, I wanted to write you a short note, but I didn't have enough time, so I wrote you a long letter instead. especially, I think, communication everywhere is this way, but I think especially in IT, we do a really good job of over-explaining everything that needs to happen without really getting to the point of what we need to do. Yeah. And so true communication to me is when you have an understanding that opens that ability to have both parties really understanding and moving in the same direction towards whatever that value is that both parties need.
Sure.
Right? So how do you do this? And that is the challenge, right? So I can talk from a perspective of over time where we were. I mean, change management, for example, in an IT perspective would be all about checking that technology was going to work before you implemented a change. But what was missed very heavily was the organizational change management pieces, which is all about communication, about setting up that ability to have people go through that transformational understanding so they can actually understand not just what's being said, but how it's going to work in their environment, what the value is for them. And so when you communicate, a lot of this really has to do with how you set that communication up. So number one, I think that we need to really step back and look at this and say, how do we understand what the customer's expectations are, what our employees' expectations are, and how do we bridge that gap between there in the shortest possible way? So I think a lot of this is you've got to talk to the customers, you got to talk to the end users, you've got to talk to whoever's the consumer of that service more often, and not just from a perspective of talking to them, but really listening to them and asking those questions. Why do you need this? What is going on? Where do you need to go? Ask those five, ask why five times, right? And keep going. Not to irritate them, but to really get to the point where you're understanding what it is that they're trying to do so that your solution to that is there. And then the second part is, you got to talk to your employees too, right? They need to understand. If your employees are not on board with everything, then it doesn't work. And I say this all the time to my staff. If you take care of your employees, they'll take care of your customers and everybody wins, right? Yeah. So it's this whole symbiotic relationship between the customer and the employee. But then you have to understand intention behind those expectations on both sides. And there's a great story around Disney that talks about they would go out and survey people all the time that would go to the Disney resorts, and they would ask questions, what would you like to see, specifically around food? And everybody kept saying they wanted more salad. They wanted more salad options in the parks. Mm. And so Disney listened to them, and they gave them more salads, and no one bought them. Right? So there's this whole psychology behind what we're talking about in organizational change management and customer experience that we need to understand. It's not just people will say things, but it's truly understanding your customers to understand giving them what they want. And it's not just giving them what they say they want, but really understanding who they are. So communication is the key to the collaboration piece, and understanding your expectations, what success looks like, I think is the biggest thing, right?
Yeah.
And then truly understand this point. It's not an end game, right? You don't ask the question one time and that's it. You ask the questions all the time. You communicate with people all the time. And I think that's where that success comes from a communication.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. I love that you say it's not an end game, and understanding what they really want, which can be tricky, right? It can be difficult, but asking, like you said, asking five times, I feel like as a customer myself, some of the experiences I've had have been that you maybe are asked a question and then you can feel even halfway through your answer that you have been, she's been put in this box. This is where she falls. This is what she wants. This is what she needs. And I mean, I understand the need for efficiency and all of that. But yes, I mean, truly understanding, taking time to understand what is it they're really asking? What is it they really need? And I love that story about Disney. It's true. I mean, half the time we don't know what we want. So that's part of the trick here is figuring out in our communication how to get to the heart of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we teach classes on this internally to all the organizations that I've been with on how to communicate and really understanding your audience too.
Right.
For example, you know, if you're talking to a C-level audience, they are going to expect a different level of communication than maybe a technician would.
Right.
So understanding that communication path, but then, and I'll say this all the time too, I have a colleague that always tell me either say more or talk, or say less or talk faster. Right? So, because we do get to that part, right? We're really good at explaining things, but not really good about getting to the point. So that would be something that I would focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, let's move on to back to a second question that we had on our list. But as far as top three pieces of advice that you would give for meeting and exceeding, right? That's always our goal. Meeting and exceeding customer expectations. What could you give our listeners? What would be your top three?
So, yeah, that's a great question too. I think there are so many things that you can do when it comes to improving customer experience. So number one is you got to know where you're at.
Right.
What I mean by that is how happy are your customers? Not how happy do you think your customers?
Yeah.
I remember reading a statistic that came up recently that talked about a survey that was done of C-level folks asking how happy they thought their customers were, how good they were at providing customer experience.
Uh-huh.
80% of them came back and said, we do a fantastic job at this. But then they asked the customers, right? Well, do you think this company is providing customer experience to you? And it came back at like less than 10%.
Oh my gosh, so that's a massive difference. Wow.
It is. And so I think a lot of the times, and granted, we need to have that understanding inside of our organization to push forward, to understand that we're going down the right path. But when you talk about really providing what that value is from a customer, I think getting out in front of them and talking to them a lot is really what's important here, right? Understanding what's important to them, not just what they think is important, not what they say is important, but really, truly, what is their point? Why are they doing business with you or your competitors or anybody? What is it that they're trying to get out of the relationship? And if you understand what that is, I think it's easier to bridge the gap in the direction of saying, my solution behind that can help provide this value to customers. So it becomes this win-win thing, not just a, I've got this great solution and you should use it because it's, you know, better, faster, cheaper, whatever the situation is to a competitor that you might have. It's really understanding who they are and what they want, and helping them actually accomplish that.
Yeah.
So getting out there and talking to them, I think that's a big, big thing that needs to happen. I would also say that, you know, measurement is an interesting piece. We've heard this for years in the business world, right? If you don't measure it, it can't be done. And I agree with that to a certain degree.
Okay.
Right? We need to make sure that we're not overemphasizing what a metric is, right?
Okay,
so
yeah.
What I mean is you need to know where you're going and you have to measure for success behind this. I totally agree with that. But you have to be careful that the success that you're measuring is not the goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's more about getting out there and facilitating an outcome. And if the outcome is represented in the metric that you're seeing and you can show movement in the metric, that's fantastic. But the metric itself should not be the goal. And I think a lot of times what happens, especially with business, is we start to look at metrics and we focus our attention on the metric outcome more than what the result of the metric should be. So one of the things I would say is be careful of that. So, you know, the first one, don't just swallow your Kool-Aid because you think you're doing well. Make sure that you're doing well.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're measuring the right things, but don't over rely on the measurement of what's out there. The measurement should be a reflective piece of what's going on, not the goal itself.
Right. Keeping it real.
You know, and honestly, we do see this a lot too, I think, in our industry, where we see a metric chasing, right? We see this where people, you know, beg for increased customer experience because it's a big thing and, you know, people want to see it. But, you know, it's a challenge to look at a metric and say, is it real or is it just a number, right? If it's just a number, it's not helping you. And then that kind of brings me to the last piece, right? Executive buy-in at the customer experience level is a culture-based change for a lot of organizations. And so making sure that you have that is something that needs to happen.
Yes.
If you go in and have, you know, a grassroots, which is fine, but people at middle management or upper management are not buying in on whatever that direction is, there's only so far that you can take that. So make sure that it's more than lip service by really engaging that executive level.
This is awesome. Thank you so much. I guarantee that this is going to be some good stuff for our listeners. And just kind of on the heels of that, it's all such good advice. I don't even know if there's more to add to it. But as we look forward to the year ahead, you know, I kind of can't believe we're already as far into it as we are. But what goals would you suggest we all keep at the forefront when it comes to actually collaborating for success, reaching that collaboration where we can best succeed? What goals would you put at the forefront?
So there's a couple of them that I would take out to look at from a collaboration perspective. So the first one is co-created value. So we're going to hear a lot about co-created value coming forward in the next year or two.
Okay.
We see it in DevOps. We see it in Agile, Lean. We see it in a lot of other areas. They're talking about co-created value. Most recently, we've seen an upgrade in ITIL version 4, which is absolutely focused on creating that, you know, co-creating that value. So don't let the buzzword, you know, just become another buzzword that's out there, right? What is co-created value? Well, co-created value really is that piece where it's value for the customer and it's value for the service provider at the same time, and you're both working in a symbiotic relationship to move forward. Well, that applies to the collaboration that's going on inside the organization too. So while we look at this and we've all got our budgets, we all have our meetings, we all have our goals that we have to deal with inside the organization, taking a look at that co-created value and making sure that we're facilitating, you know, breaking down lines of communication. And when I say silos, you don't have to break down a silo and make it go away. There's reasons for silos.
Sure.
But the communication across the silo is the problem, right? People in one group not knowing what the people in another group are doing immediately will think from a psychology perspective that the other group isn't doing anything.
Yeah.
So getting these teams together to work together, to understand that everybody truly is working towards that same goal inside the organization, is going to go a long way to make it functional.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Well, we have to always ask, our guests, what brand or company has wowed you personally with their exceptional CX? Does one come to mind?
Yes, there is. And I tell you what, that's a great question because there are so many amazing organizations that are doing some amazing stuff out there in CX. And every time I sit and talk to a company, I learn something new, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I just absolutely really love this. But one that comes to mind very specifically would be Vail Resorts.
Okay.
So, and I'm from Colorado, so I'm maybe cheating a little bit here, but they are a worldwide organization, right? They are a company that manages properties and ski resorts, and in the summer they're doing those resorts. So they're managing a lot of properties and a lot of things. And one of the things that I find really interesting about this organization and why I would say they're doing an amazing job with CX is that they have completely revamped, not that they had a problem before, but their whole focus on customers is absolutely amazing. So their actual statement around this is that we provide experiences of a lifetime. That's fantastic. Experiences of a lifetime. So think of that. And they empower all their employees at all levels to do just that. And then even further, they reward them for this, and not just a little bit. So I'm talking about going completely above and beyond. There are stories. If you go to their website, you can watch videos on this. It's absolutely amazing. They give awards to their employees that are, trips to some of these amazing locations for them and a significant other for a week to go in when they do this award. And they don't just give away one award. They give like 100 of these awards every year.
Wow.
And what they're doing is they facilitate the employee to go above and beyond. And you can hear story after story after story where these employees are just empowered to do the right thing for customers, whether it be saving a life, which happens. One of the stories they talk about is an employee at Breckenridge saw a customer just not really feeling that well, looking a little dehydrated, went and talked to the person, made sure that they were doing okay, but didn't really get the vibe that they were intending to get, and went and brought in emergency services and found out that the woman was, I believe, fully dehydrated, had to be hospitalized, and ended up saving this person's life by just going that extra mile. And
oh
the stories
gosh.
Go on and on and on, from lending a car to driving somebody 50 miles to a parked car because a pass may be shut down and they couldn't get back to their car, so an employee would drive the person around a mountain to get to the other side. I mean, this is the kind of stuff when you look at and providing that experience of a lifetime. I would say that Vail Resorts is knocking it out of the park in everything that they do, both in their corporate office and out in the field from their customer facing side. So that would be a company to definitely take a look at. Excellent job.
Yeah, that is spectacular. And that's one of the things I love about getting to ask this question is I learn about so many companies. Like, I've never heard of this. I've never heard of Vail Resorts. And now I know where I want to book my next vacation. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that and for taking the time today. I know that I have learned a lot, and I know that our listeners will as well. So thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Suites of CX. Remember to tune in each week for a new episode, where we aim to bring the love and science of customer experience to life each and every week.